Welcome to PCMC. I am Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today once again by Anthony Bongiorno.
Hello, everyone. I'm back.
How are you?
I'm terrific.
Glad to hear it. Anthony, so excited about this episode. This is what I've wanted to do for a while.
Me too. This is going to be a doozy. So if you're standing sit, if you're driving, pull over.
Yes. I want to say at the very beginning here.
At the top.
I'm going to put aside my cynicism. And I'm going to just nerd out and I'm going to allow myself to feel the joy. If you want to mock me, if you want to say, oh, this is just millennial nostalgia bullshit.
Porn. Check it at the door.
Yeah.
All right. It's time to delve into childish things.
This is joy. What we're talking about today is the Scholastic Book Fair.
The Scholastic Book Fair.
And if a chill just went up your spine, if a goosebump.
I got a thrill.
Just one up your spine, then you are a friend of mine.
If a goosebump just went down your RL spine.
Nice.
Nailed it.
I want to read a little bit of the history of Scholastic Book Fairs from Scholastic.com.
Scholastic. Lots of people still say Scholastic, and it drives me wild.
I've never heard that.
You don't remember that in school?
I feel like I always said Scholastic.
Well, I feel like a lot of my classmates would be like, oh, Scholastic.
That's dumb.
It is. They were.
Okay. So, Scholastic begins in 1920 as a magazine called the Western Pennsylvania Scholastic, published by Maurice R. Robbie Robinson in October 22nd, 1920. And it was just like a little magazine that would cover like school sports.
In Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah. In 1923, the Scholastic Art and Writing Awards are founded.
Those are still around.
In 1926, they published their first book, which is a collection of winners from that contest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In 1932, I didn't know this is a thing, a Thanksgiving tradition begins. A dinner hosted by M.R. Robinson at the National Council of Teachers of English annual convention honored teachers and remains a tradition continued today by Chairman and CEO Richard Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. 1948, introducing Scholastic Book Clubs. In 1948, a partnership with Pocket Books helped Scholastic revolutionize access to books and bring reading to the masses. Teenage book clubs, TABs, specialize in books for children ages 13 to 18. Students can rip out a form on the last page of a classroom magazine and submit their order through their teacher. Today, nearly 5 million students across the country order from Scholastic book clubs through 800,000 educators. And that's still a thing.
Yes, that sure is.
Is it actually? Or is it like an online version for kids?
Well, I'll tell you. I'm coming at you with experience because I've been on both sides. Because I've been a teacher who's ordered books for my children.
Yes.
And I've been a child.
Yes.
Awaiting the big the red box. I taught middle school up until 2015. And even in 2015, you could still order from the catalog with the strip that you cut out and hand your teacher the money.
Wow.
You could do it online. I wouldn't be surprised if now it's totally online, but as of 6 years ago, I was still collecting like envelopes from students.
Does it really take long? Because the joke is that it takes long.
Don't forget, there's a difference between this Scholastic book fair and book clubs.
Right. The book club is the mail
ordering
away
through your teacher. Yeah. Yeah.
Through that marvelous little colorful magazine with pictures and colors.
Yep. Yep.
And the teacher would always give you 10 minutes to look at it, and kids would circle what you want.
Yes.
And go home and, you know, hit your parents up for some money.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd go to the...
Yeah. And it did take long. It does take long.
Well, the comedian Gary Goldman was like, I believe in third grade, I sent in the check and I got my Guinness Book of World Records and my college graduation.
Yeah, the book... it's the white and red book box, and it says your book box has arrived, and it's all very exciting. And it's the teacher's job to go through and make sure that the right kid gets the right stuff.
Right.
It's a high honor.
When you were a
teacher,
did you feel like it was a great honor?
I did. I couldn't believe that I got to be the teacher to do that.
All right, we're gonna get into all of that. I'm still going through Scholastic's official history. We're going to get to the book fairs. What Scholastic doesn't say on their website is that there was always book fairs, but they basically monopolized it.
Of course,
and
they're not going to say
that.
Bought
up everyone, and now it's synonymous Scholastic book fair, but mm-hmm. there were book fairs. And I'm skipping things. I'm just going through the important thing. In 1961, they entered the education business. In 1961, Scholastic launched the Education Division with World Affair Multitext, a series of paperbacks on world history. Today, Scholastic Education provides teachers, families, and communities with the tools they need to support each and every child with print and digital learning programs from pre-K to 12th grade. 1963, a big red icon is born.
Oh, boy.
Norman Birdwell creates Clifford the Big Red Dog. There are currently more than 134 Clifford books in print, and there's a movie coming out, mm-hmm. Clifford the Big Red Dog. Okay, growing our school distribution business. 1986, the Babysitters Club takes off. The first Christie's Great Idea is published. It's interesting because, you know, I always think of Scholastic Book Fair, but it wasn't until I was looking at that I realized they're a publisher.
Yeah.
That's what they really are. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't just bringing you books. They were also creating these books.
They sure were.
But they're interesting. Sure they do have an interesting identity in that they're more than a publisher. They're a publisher, but actually try to, like, do more than just distribute things. They actually do have the education and the... They actually are a good company.
Yeah, and they also have a number of periodicals that are... The smartest thing they did, I think, was get into schools.
Yeah.
So they have like magazines for younger grades, right. Magazines for older grades, and they're meant to be like used in conjunction with lessons right. by the teacher.
And I can hear you going, wait, they're a corporation, Mike, but I told you to leave that cynical shit at the door.
Leave it at the door. This is Scholastic.
We're not doing that right now. We're not doing that today. 1986, Anthony.
The year I was born.
You were born, the Babysitter's Club was born, and also the Magic School Bus is born.
Wow. That was a banner year.
You bet it was. Let's see. 1992, I Spy.
Mm-hmm.
Also 1992, Goosebumps.
There we go.
1996, Animorphs. And 1997, Captain Underpants.
Mm.
1998, Harry Potter.
Harry P.
Harry fucking Potter. Let's see. Wait, I missed the fucking... I went over the important thing. here we go. Sorry. 1981, Scholastic launched its in-school book fairs.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't until 1981, huh?
I know, yeah. But you did have the book club through the magazine earlier.
Yeah.
Which I conflate those two things. Mm-hmm. And part of it is because there was the California Book Fair that had already existed, which they bought.
You know, I'm going to hit you with some insight now.
Give it to me.
Not to jump the gun. But you know that the book fair
yeah.
is also partially a fundraiser. That's why schools do them.
Is that right?
Yes. We'll get there. That's the big difference between the book club and the book fair.
Okay. Well, also, I mean, in terms of thinking back to nostalgia, the experience of the book club is... teacher gives out this colorful magical magazine
mm-hmm.
and for once in your young life you are asked to make a choice for yourself. They're not telling you what to read. You can choose what to
exactly.
read, and that is what's empowering.
Yes.
And with the fair, it was, come on, we're gonna go to the cafeteria or the gym or wherever the fuck we put the fair and you're gonna walk around,
yeah,
and you're gonna look at stuff
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and it's gonna be red and it's gonna be glorious.
Yeah. It's still,
yeah,
still is.
I don't know what they're doing. I saw a vague commercial that they just produced that was basically like, through the pandemic, book club is still here. I think they're going to do like virtual fairs or something. I'm not sure. It was very vague, but it was basically like, we got you covered. We're going to keep doing this somehow.
I think they have done virtual fairs this year, actually.
But how do you do that?
Because
you can't really walk around. Isn't that just the same thing as like the book club?
Yeah. Well, but again, it's the fundraising aspect of it.
Well, let's get into that because I don't understand that. Is it like a dime of every book goes to the school?
So I don't know exactly how it works money-wise, but I do know that because I saw how the sausage was made
yeah.
as a teacher who I taught middle school, but I taught in a school that was K to 8. So
okay.
It was in elementary school mostly. we would have Scholastic Book Fairs to fund things.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly how it works. Obviously, most of the money goes to Scholastic, but yeah, you do make money from having a Scholastic Book Fair.
Yeah.
And you put it toward like a trip or something.
And do you,
or the school.
Do they typically do one a year, or are there more sometimes?
I think you could do as many as you want, but most schools would do it like once a year.
Okay.
So I know for a fact 1 year we did one to fund the eighth grade field trip.
I wonder though, do the schools have to buy the books up front and then sell them?
No, that's not how it works.
But don't they get books for their library too?
Sometimes. So here's how it works.
Okay.
It's run by a group of people. In our case, and I'm assuming in many cases, it's like the PTA or like a parent group runs it because the teachers are busy teaching.
Right.
Scholastic sends you the products. Mm-hmm. You set it up. You're in charge of the money. Like, it's not like you're not buying those books. Whatever's not bought gets sent back to Scholastic.
Okay.
And then you hand, at the end of the week, you hand Scholastic the money that you made.
Their cut.
And then they send you a check.
Oh.
That's based on a percentage of your sales.
Oh, I see.
And book clubs, there's like teacher points. So like every time I had a student buy a book, I'd get a certain number of points.
Interesting.
And then I could trade in those points for books for my library.
Interesting.
So you could buy with points or money.
So being on the inside of this,
I was almost, listen to this.
Yeah.
I almost was going to be Clifford.
What?
But I couldn't fit in the costume. It's one of the
because you most were too small.
Because I was too small. No, it had to be like a small mom needed to be in there.
Okay.
But I wish, because that's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, this is what I've been waiting for. I've been training my whole life to be Clifford.
Yeah.
But I couldn't. It was way too small.
I would want them to set up like a little city, like a King Kong movie, and just like walk around like stomping on things.
Because you get, you could pay like an extra $50 or something, and you get the Clifford costume too for somebody to wear.
Whoa.
So,
and who wouldn't want
to
do that?
And I wanted to, but it was too small for me.
Do you have to be a school? What if I just wanted to do the Pop Culture Man Children, the PCMC Book Fair?
I think you have to be a school.
But what if I'm like...
Or an organization for
children.
Yeah,
like what if it's like a Catholic organization, like an after school program or something?
I think you can do it. I don't know. That is an interesting question. I don't know the answer to that.
All right. So let's go back to when you were a child and when I was a child. And let's just talk about memories.
Well, it was just magical because I loved books as a kid, and it's really just a week-long celebration of reading.
Yes.
And it's just so colorful and fun. And like you said, it's choice. Like you felt right, empowered. Like, I want to read this book. And I remember in elementary school, I always had like on the corner of my desk, you always had a book that you were supposed to keep for when you finished your work early. If other kids were still working, you did silent reading. So I'd always have like a little pile of books on my desk for like, you know, for business.
Yeah.
And a lot of those would come from either book clubs or the book fair.
Right.
And they also sold like little bookmarks and trinkets and stuff.
Right.
And it was fun. And it was also fun because you got to miss part of the day to go down and look around.
Well, when you're a kid in grade school, it's always fun to have any difference
and then,
in the grind.
You know, mom would put, you know, a $10 bill in your hot little hands and you'd get down there and it was your money, baby. And you could spend it on whatever you wanted.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you go to school and they teach you how to read and they tell you what to read.
Mm-hmm.
And not only are you given a choice.
It's like almost like the first time that a child gets to be like a consumer.
That's true as well. You do have your little money and you walk,
it's
and
like
you get
shopping.
To buy something.
Yeah.
That itself is a unique thing.
Yeah.
But it also is like it's not just that you get a choice. It's teaching you that books can be more than homework. It's teaching you that books can be fun.
Right.
Books can be silly. Books can be scary.
Mm-hmm.
Books can be... It's teaching you that books can be a bunch of different things.
Like scary... I think we've both been touched tremendously by Scholastic books, like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yeah.
And for me, Goosebumps, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I got Scary Stories not from a fair, but from a book club. And... I must have been my first one because in my memory, I always say it was the first book I ever bought for myself, which I think is true. And I was a spooky kid and I saw it.
You were a spooky kid.
Yeah. And I was a spooky adult. And I saw it and I circled it and I went home and mom you know, mom. She gave me.
I know her.
Yeah, she gave me the money, and
she'd always be excited if we wanted to buy books.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, parents like when their kids read.
Yeah.
And I actually read it. Whereas, like, you know, I was such a little anxious kid that sometimes I would buy books and I'd just be like, I got a book! Ah! And then just run around with the book.
I remember you'd always buy books and be like, this is a book of science experiments. I'm going to do them. And then you wouldn't.
Yeah. Do you have any standouts? Did you get the very first Goosebumps, the mask?
That's not the first one.
Oh, no, that's the first episode of the show. Is it Slappy?
The Haunted House is the first one.
Oh, okay. I'm way off. Did you get that? Did you get the first one?
No, I don't know when that came out, but I think when I came to Goosebumps, there were already a few out. And the first Goosebumps I ever read was It Came From Beneath the Sink.
Ooh.
It was a good one. But what stands out to me from the Scholastic memories of the Scholastic Book Fairs is the Boxcar Children.
Ooh, yeah.
I was really into the Boxcar Children for a while.
I never read any of the Boxcar Children. What do they do? What are they up to?
Well, they were homeless.
Okay.
And then they, I think, are adopted, if I'm remembering correctly, they're adopted by like a rich man. And then from there on, they just solve mysteries.
You bet. You so bet they do.
The whole first book is like, kind of like Swiss Family Robinson's, like children living on their own in a boxcar. And then at the end, they're adopted and they put the boxcar in the backyard so that they could keep it as a testament to their their troubled, turbulent past. Nice. And then from then on, they solve mysteries.
Nice.
So it's a quite a shakeup.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was really into those four.
Can we take a little diversion and let me tell you about R.L. Stine's masterclass?
I convinced you, like a charlatan, to get masterclass, and Janine, and none of us made it past 1 hour.
But, like, in the last couple of months, I remember that I had it, and I started watching it, and I watched, I think, all of R.L. Stine's, and...
Did you? Did you learn anything?
No. It's
well, that's my problem with masterclass. Hilarious. They're not structured like lessons.
No. Man, we could... That's a whole other episode. We could talk about how masterclass is just
it's a Ponzi
kind
scheme.
Of bullshit. Right. But what's... his way of... I find myself very endeared to him because I don't think he's a charlatan. I don't think he, you know, is a guy who's just like, I'm printing money. He seems to really care about what he does. But his advice is so like, nope, you don't need, this would do not, unless you're writing Goosebumps.
He's like, I bet he's like, you need to turn the lights out.
No. He's like, first thing, you need a title. Title before I come up with a snappy title, and then the book comes last.
You know what? It sounds, at least he's doing him. It sounds like that is what he does.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you need a
But like we've talked about this before.
He's like character. I don't care about character. All I care about is plot. And every chapter, the chapter should be 6 pages long. He has this method down of how he writes his books. And it's like no other writer writes anything. And you can tell there's a genuineness to him.
But he's so prolific. Like Stephen King, to a certain extent, writes like that.
Yeah, but he does have characters.
Oh, yeah, he does. But that's so funny.
He's like, you know, one time I was in a store and I saw like, I'm just giving an example. I forget exactly what it was, but he's like, I was in a store and it was Halloween time and I saw a sign that said, you know, boo to you. And I went, that's a title. And then I went home and I wrote a book.
You know what? God bless.
It's beautiful.
That is a title. Well, a lot of the early ones were just like takes on titles from 50s horror movies.
Yeah, it's just puns and shit.
Yeah.
It's,
With the it's title. Incredible. You know what? That might be the best writing advice I've ever got.
Yeah. And then I'm like, you know, every couple of years I had to write another Slappy. The kids love Slappy.
I did love Slappy.
Everybody loves Slappy.
The kids love the Slappy.
Yeah.
Slappy was great. The Haunted Mask was a favorite of mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did sequels too. Brilliant.
Yeah. There's a ton of them, and I don't think I read a single one of them, to be honest with you.
Goosebumps? You never read a Goosebumps?
Not a one.
Wow. You, for somebody who like, is so like into that aesthetic.
Right. Well,
you think you would really be into it? Well, now you can't read them.
No, I can. I keep trying to say to other grown-ups, like, hey, you want to do Goosebumps?
You won't like it.
A Goosebumps. But if you read it in like 5 minutes, yeah. I'm sure I could read it on the shitter and be like, that was fun.
I mean, it's fun, but it's also like so for kids, it's not even scary. You know, it's just like silly, spooky stuff.
Jenny Nicholson did a, had like a short-lived like YouTube show called Goose Drunks, where they would like make drinking games out of Goosebumps. It was like every time like a person's really an animal, you take a drink. Or every time like the mom is evil or something like that. And you know no one ever dies in Goosebumps?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had one negative ending and kids were so mad.
Which
he,
one?
I forget what it was, but he undid it with a sequel. Because he was like, the kids didn't like it, so I had to fix it.
Yeah, no one ever dies. Yeah. No one dies. You know, no one dies in the original I Know What You Did Last Summer book either. Like those Lois Duncan books, no one ever died either.
Right.
Because those are books for kids.
Right, and they turned and it into, then a, they slasher turned it into movie.
A slasher movie where a bunch of people die.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, people lump Goosebumps in with Scary Stories. But Scary Stories, I think, is different. I mean, Goosebumps is all this guy's imagination, whereas Scary Stories are all their folk tales. So, and also Scary, Goosebumps had, I think, more lighthearted illustrations, where famously Scary Stories had really freaky illustrations.
Which those new editions with the new illustrations are just.
Right, because it shows something, because Goosebumps was banned a lot from school libraries, and it was really the illustrations that did it, because once they changed the illustrations but left the text, people had were fine with it. The illustrations
you
really...
You mean Scary Stories were banned?
Yes.
You said Goosebumps.
Oh, I mean Scary Stories, yeah.
Although I think Goosebumps was probably banned too.
Probably. Well, Captain Underpants, I think, was banned somewhere because he's got his pants off or something.
Every book has been banned somewhere.
Yeah, if it's good, if it has any redeeming quality, yeah. Let's ban it and burn it. One of the coolest things I ever got from the... Was it the book club or the book fair? It might have been the book club. I got... Because I was always into science, although I really wasn't... I wasn't really into science. I was into, like, Beekman's world.
You were into, like, being a mad scientist.
Yes, I was into the aesthetic of I'm a mad... I didn't want to, like, understand neutrons.
You didn't do particularly well in science.
Yeah, no, I still don't understand science. I wanted, like, Bunsen burners and, like, bubbling things. And it was a skeleton. Do you remember that? Remember, yes. We had it in our room. We shared a room when we were kids. It was a book on, like, basically what's inside your body.
Yes, I do remember that.
And
yes.
It came with a... It was like the skeleton you'd see, like, in a science classroom.
It was like the precursor
to
Bodies, the exhibit.
Yes, it was. But it was a small one.
Yes, I do remember that.
And I, as a spooky kid, I was like, look, it's a skeleton. So I was just like, I was into it.
That's a not so bright kid.
spooky kid. I was like, look, it's a skeleton.
This is a book about skeletons.
I took the book, I threw it into a fire, and I just played with
kept
the skeleton.
Kept the toy. I think, you know what sticks out to me too? Scholastic always had like those exclusive movie tie-ins where it was like behind the scenes of...
Right.
And I had a bunch of those. Actually, to go back to I Know What You Did Last Summer, I had one of those for...
Also junior novelizations.
Junior novelizations, but also like, you know, like this comes with, you know, it's like, this is now a movie and it comes with 12 color photographs.
Whoa!
Or whatever. Yeah.
Color photographs, you say?
But also like books that were like about the making of movies and stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. It was all... So colorful.
Yes.
It was also... It was
candy.
It fired up the imagination.
For sure.
I remember I got the junior novelization of Jurassic Park. It had images from the movie, but it was like a kid version of Jurassic Park.
That's interesting because that was a book.
Because it was a real
first.
Book?
There's a lot. They still do those. They still have those.
Do they really?
Yeah. Like Stamped from the very beginning, by which is like an anti-racist book. There's... Stamped, which is the kids version.
Okay.
And that's pretty popular all in its own right. And there's like a kids version of Becoming by Michelle Obama. Like they still make those.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do they still do the movie ones?
They don't really have... I feel like they don't have novelizations of movies anymore. I feel like that's something that just they don't do anymore.
That was a 90s thing?
Wow, I haven't thought about that. That was such a big thing and they don't do that at all.
Well, every big movie had one of those little books.
I remember I had a Lost in Space one.
Yeah.
Remember Star Wars Episode One? The novelization came out like before the movie.
Yeah.
And we got it. And we were like, we're going to read it before we see it. And then we did it. I had a novelization. You know what's cool about novelizations? As you know, like they have creative license sometimes where they change things. I had a novelization of Grease.
Yeah.
which I wish I still had because it was fascinating.
What did they change?
There was just a lot of backs, you know, because they hire real writers to write these things. And, you know,
I think I'd love this job, by the way.
They're like, well, you know, I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to make this my own. And like, I remember Grease had a lot of exposition, a lot of backstory that you didn't get in the movie, like about, and it's weird because it's like, it's a musical, but there was no songs
right,
in the book.
Right, right, right.
And I remember there was a lot of backstory about like when Danny and Rizzo dated.
Interesting.
And like, I don't know. It was just like, I guess this writer's approach was like, oh, I'm going to make this like a teen romance novel.
Wow.
I wish I still had it. But yeah.
Did it have illustrations? Did it have pictures from the movie?
It had a few pictures from the movie. Oh. I got it in the 90s, but I'm assuming it was probably just a reprint of one from the
70s. Yeah,
wow. And I know like the Halloween novelization had some backstory about Michael Myers that's considered canon now, right?
I don't know.
I think I remember them talking about it in the documentary about the making of Halloween.
Oh, really? See, I don't know. I don't know what is or isn't Halloween canon these days.
Well, that's a hard franchise to follow. But at the time, it was considered to be canon. Like you got more of Michael Myers' childhood in the novelization.
And did they have those at Scholastic Book Fair? Halloween books? Like based on the film Halloween?
No. Well, I don't know if they had that one, but I know that there was a series
that was like Goosebumps,
that
right?
Was like Goosebumps for Halloween.
Yeah.
And I got those at the
Scholastic. He wasn't murdering people.
Nobody died, but he was always around being scary.
Whoa.
And it took place in Haddonfield, and I got those at the Scholastic Book Fair.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, something really cool
Lots
about...
Lots of Mary-Kate and Ashley books.
Oh, of
back
course.
Back in the 90s.
Well, they were such great detectives as well.
they were really great at everything.
Did you see someone uncovered like one of their made-for-video things?
Where they were harassing
They were harassing Elizabeth. Their much more famous sister.
But, I mean, much more famous is up for debate. Those, they are set for life.
Yeah, but she's an A-list star who
True,
makes...
True, but they're also like so rich they'll buy and sell you and they don't need to work a day in their life for the rest of their lives.
Right, no. In terms of success, they're probably...
But as an actress, she's way more...
And she also has real clout.
Right. She's a way better actress and is like a real celebrity.
Yeah.
Now, but yeah, they were always, very often they'd be like, get our little sister out of here.
You suck, bitch.
That's what they said.
Yeah. With going back to movie novelization, sometimes what's cool about them is they you know, you want them to come out the same time as the movie for marketing purposes. So sometimes they're based on original scripts and then the script changes.
Right.
Like I have, and I haven't, I've only skimmed through it because I haven't had the time to sit down and actually get into it. But I have the novelization to Gremlins and in it, Gizmo talks. Gizmo and Stripe both talk and have dialogue, which must have been in one of the early scripts.
You think, or do you think they just gave the writer carte blanche to do what he wanted with it?
I don't know. Like, that's a huge change.
Yeah. And you're right. That they were usually based on original screenplays.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
God, why don't they make novelizations anymore? I guess nobody would
then
read them.
Then, of course, you've got E.T. and the Green Planet, which is like a sequel.
Yeah, which is...
To E.T.
Yeah, which is was considered to be the official sequel to E.T.
Right, sure.
But yeah, so you'd have those at Scholastic Book Fairs. You'd also have lots of Where's Waldo and like magic illusion books.
The amount of headaches I gave myself with
optical illusion,
magic eye, and just being like... I can't do it. It's like there's that joke in Mallrats where he's trying to do it and he can't do it.
Yeah.
I found
Which was also a joke on Seinfeld. I wonder who did it first.
I found that if I cross my eyes, I can do it. If I cross my
Me
eyes.
Me too,
and
but
then,
you're not supposed to do it that
you're,
way.
No, you're supposed to just
stare at it.
But that didn't work. I wanted the cheap, easy way out.
Yeah, you cross. You're supposed to stare at it and unfocus your eyes and it'll sort
Yeah,
of
the cheap way is to cross your eyes and then let them unfocus from there.
Right.
And then you'd get it.
And it'd be like, what? And there'd always be that one kid who'd be like, I can't see it.
Yeah, that fucking kid. Well, what about a big thing? This was a little bit pricey, but the Guinness Book of World Records was a big thing at the Scholastic Book Fair.
And that's like one of those things where there was a new one every year.
Right. And that's full of cool pictures. Oh, look, it's the tallest guy. It's the shortest lady. It's the woman with the crazy long nails.
Yeah. There'd also be, I mean, we weren't sports kids, but there'd also be a decent amount of like new sports books.
Yeah, that was never my jam. But there was always...
But there was something for every type of kid.
Yes, there was. There was. Like, I would look at the spooky things. Yeah. And, you know, there was all the stuff for girls, which I didn't look at, but, like, all the Babysitter's Club stuff and all of that shit.
Babysitter's Club, I never got into, and Sweet Valley High and stuff like that.
I've heard that the new Netflix Babysitter's Club show is actually worth a watch.
Really? That's interesting. Babysitter's Club is one of those things that didn't touch me, but I know it touched the lives of so many people.
I'm sure.
My age.
Yeah.
Most of them girls, but not all of them.
We did an episode earlier this year on Harriet the Spy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure she was a big...
oh, yeah. My Harriet the Spy namesake. Book... that I had as a kid that I read, the cover was Michelle Trachtenberg, and I got it at Scholastic, I think.
Yeah.
It was the movie tie-in.
Yeah. It really... See, it's also exciting because everything you do in school is uniform. Like, you and the guy sitting to the left and right of you are doing the same thing. But, like, with the Scholastic Book Fair, like, you can... It gave you a chance to differentiate yourself from your peers. Like, I've got a Where's Waldo book, and I've got a NBA Jam book.
Right.
It's a book about basketball. Right.
And I've got the Space Jam novelization.
Yes, you bet.
Which I think I did have.
Of course you did. Isn't it weird that Where's Waldo is called Where's Wally in the UK?
Is it?
Yeah.
I did not
know why
that.
Why that difference? You know, little things like that bother me. Like, Clue is called Cluedo.
Well, Cluedo actually makes more sense.
What does Cluedo mean?
It's a play on Latin word ludo, which means to play.
All right. See, Americans are too dumb for that.
Yeah.
Why is Wally? Why is we like we would be like, what's Wally?
You know, in the UK, TJ Maxx is TK Maxx.
Why? What?
For some reason, I don't know. You can look it up, but I know for a fact.
What does TJ Maxx mean?
I don't. Somebody's name. I guess.
It was a name.
But it's TK because I think there's a store there named TJ's or something.
What are you going back to Harry Potter? Like, isn't it weird that we called the first book Sorcerer's Stone instead of Philosopher's Stone?
It's again, because we're dumb.
Yeah. If she were at the height of her power then, that would have never happened.
Right. Well, there's a lot. I mean, look, also you look at how much longer they got, the more popular she got. Like, they basically were just like, oh, we don't need to edit your work. Do you, which she could have used an editor.
Yeah. Well, that's my thing with every artist. Once you get you can do whatever you want. It's like, oh, your movies and your books are going to be bad.
Right. But yeah, the TK Maxx, Cluedo. I did not know about Where's Wally.
Those were always
their
fun.
Milky Way is different than ours too.
I'm sorry, what?
Their Milky Way. I went to the
they when live
I
got a different when universe
I went.
Than us, is
yeah,
what you're saying?
Yes. When I went to the UK, I made sure to get a Milky Way bar because their Milky Way is white on the inside
and
floats in milk, and that's why it's called the Milky Way. Our
Shut
version,
the fuck up,
is the shitty version. That's the real version, and they're smaller.
Let's not to get off on a tangent on candy, because candy can be its own episode. But do you know Three Musketeers originally was a packet with three different, like, a vanilla one, a chocolate one, and a strawberry? And now they just call something Three Musketeers. It has nothing
but
to do with
those.
But I
bet it changed because of the Depression or something.
Well, that's like Twinkies used to be banana flavored.
Yes.
And then you didn't have fake banana flavor after World War II? I don't know. Never was a Twinkie guy.
Me neither.
Because
I don't
there's
like
no chocolate.
Any of those... prepackaged cakey sweets
Shut
that
the
are just
yes you do
no I don't
yes you do
like
you don't
what?
Like any Hostesses
no.
or
no
Swiss Miss
no and I never have
I grew up in the same house as you
I know
sir.
And you always ate them and mom knew that I didn't like them
you don't like any of that
no so, ding dongs none of them they taste like warm that's what they
how,
taste
how
like
dare you?
I don't like any of them
how dare you
I mean, I'll eat
if
them.
If I ever in the rest of my life see you taking one,
I mean,
I'm slap
sure,
it out
I'll
of your hand.
I'll eat them, but I don't love them.
I'll eat five or six of them.
Eat five or six, but I really don't. I mean, it's the last thing that I'd want.
I have a sweet tooth, and that's
I
my,
have a sweet tooth, too. I just don't like those.
Problem.
I don't like cake. I'm
I
not
love
a big,
cakes
on my birthday,
and cookies
I always,
and confections.
On my birthday, if you'll remember, I always had an ice cream cake because I don't really like cake.
Do you ever have Magnolia cupcakes?
Bakery?
Yeah.
I mean, like... During the height of Sex and the City, everybody had one.
What about their famous banana bread pudding?
I've never had that.
Oh, my God. Is it fucking good? Oh, my God. It makes
Calm
you.
Down.
It makes inside of your veins warm. You get sweaty.
They have good cupcakes. Have you ever baked by Melissa? Those little cupcakes?
I don't know.
They're overrated. They're like those little bite-sized cupcakes.
Think about cupcakes. Now that you say it was a fundraiser, I'm remembering that
You could buy cupcakes.
There would
there
be
too.
Cupcakes at the book fair.
Yeah.
But that wasn't from Scholastic. Somebody's mom probably made them, right?
Yeah, because it was all going toward whatever they were raising the funds for. Yeah.
What about those Philistines who would only buy like cupcakes and erasers? And you'd be like, oh, nice eraser, Bill. You fuck. I bought a book. I'm going to go see where Waldo is.
You know, I also remember that was the first time ever I had to negotiate my purchases.
Really?
You know, it really did teach you a lot about, listen, it's like a little mini training for capitalism.
Yeah.
You only had $10 and $10 only goes so far. Yeah. You can't get it all.
You can't get
and
it
I remember
all.
You go to your teacher and you'd be like, I don't know what to get. I don't have enough. And then your teacher would be like, well, you have to decide what you really want and what you don't.
Yeah. I'm not going to bail you out.
I'm not bailing you out again, Fannie Mae.
I remember when I was a little kid, whenever I'd go to Toy Store with mom and grandma, I would always fucking pull the hustle on them where I'd pick two action figures out and be like, I love them both so much, I can't decide. And mom knew what was up. Yeah. But then grandma would be like, oh.
Just get both.
I'll get one of them. And I'd be like, great.
What a horrible kid.
I know. Like you can't get the cupcake and the thing, and then, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to figure it out. I did that with books. I remember always being like, I'll get these three. And then mom or somebody being like, Anthony, just get one. I'd be like, but I want more than one.
I want three.
Yeah.
But you were a much more literate kid. You loved books as a kid. I didn't become a reader. Yeah. Like most things in my life, I didn't become functioning with it until my 30s. I was just a little anxious, depressed little freak. But you did read, and you had a collection of books as a kid, which I did not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it must have been more special for you.
Oh, yeah.
Although it was special for me.
Yeah. I mean, it was special for everybody. But it was super, super exciting and fun. And yeah, I did like having a book collection as a kid. And I remember I was particularly proud of my Goosebumps collection.
How many did you have?
I think at the height of my madness, I had like over 50 of them.
That's still a drop in the bucket.
I would bet you they are still in a box in the attic in mom and dad's house.
I
don't think mom would throw something like that out.
I bet. We don't throw out books, so there's still tons of
books.
Well,
some people just don't throw out books. I've actually started to throw out books.
I have...
Because nobody else wants your books. That's right. The thing.
Yes. Yeah, I have two. If I can't give it to somebody, like just a friend of mine who wants it, then I'll just
recycle it.
Yeah, I'll just recycle it. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to feel bad about it. It's paper and you're recycling it.
Right.
Yeah,
I had them. I remember mom got me a big tub to keep under the bed for my books.
So you keep your Goosebumps under the bed.
Well, all my books were in tubs under the bed.
I remember you having like little bookshelves, though.
I did. I had, but I eventually got so many that
I outgrew them. Do you think you had more books as a kid or more books now?
now, probably, but I have books everywhere. I still have books in mom's
house. As a kid, I didn't worry about space, and as an adult...
I feel guilty when I buy a new book now because I'm like, do I want to like? Usually, that's what I'll do. Now when I buy a physical book, I'll try to go through my shelves and I'll be like, what can I get rid of?
Well, I do the horrible thing, and I'm sorry about this. I do the horrible thing where I'll go to a bookstore and then just
get it on your Kindle.
Get it on my Kindle.
What do they call that? Isn't there a word for that?
Showcasing or showrooming?
Okay,
it's terrible.
But you're doing it to Barnes & Noble, so it's not like you're doing it to like a local bookshop.
Well, I was just going to name a place that wasn't Barnes & Noble.
Oh, okay. Well, then don't do that.
You know McNally Jackson Books, right?
No.
It's, I think there's three in the city. It's just the most beautiful. It's like what a bookstore is in your memory, in your mind. It's
like
just,
the Strand?
No, the Strand is...
You know the Strand is dangerously close to closing.
The Strand is self-important. And pedantic and just a labyrinth of unfriendly faces.
Wow.
The people who work there are famously rude.
Yeah, but don't you think New York will be poorer without the Strand?
Sure, no, I want the Strand to stay. But I won't pretend like going to the Strand is a nice experience.
I still do love going to the Strand.
It feels like a maze sometimes. It's like, I'm in a dead end. What happened?
I like that. I feel like it's like you're tight. You're like in a labyrinth of books.
I like something like McNally. Where
you like
it's
an open
like,
plan?
Where it's like, yeah, it's there's space, there's air, things are, there's a nice fine mahogany. You know, something about...
Well, what's interesting... interesting.
Strand just feels like a warehouse.
Now that you say it, is I feel like old school bookstores, because if you go like, if you ever go like New England or whatever, and you go like to these like little bookshops, they are mostly just like rows and rows of shelves.
Yeah.
Modern bookstores and even Barnes & Noble, it almost feels like they borrowed the Scholastic Book Fair model.
Yeah.
Where it's all like tables and it's open.
Right. True.
And there's something to that. Maybe that sort of comes from the Scholastic book fairs.
I mean, I still like a Barnes & Noble.
I love Barnes & Noble.
I still will walk around a Barnes & Noble. I like Barnes & Noble.
Listen, I don't care. I can put aside the fact that, I mean, whatever.
They're a corporation.
Okay, fine. But they sell books, and I like books. You know, like.
Right.
Whatever.
You have chairs, that's nice.
Yeah, I like sitting in there.
If you sell coffee, I enjoy that. Coffee and books
is great. It's the experience.
Yeah, I used to, you know, now you can't sit places because of COVID.
Well, now you can again.
Yeah, but I would love, like, going, getting a coffee and a book and sitting there and reading my book.
I've done that. I've read full books in Barnes & Noble and not bought them.
Oh, you scumbag.
Plenty, especially.
I've never read a full book in Barnes & Noble.
Graphic novels.
Oh, well, that's another situation altogether.
Because you don't got to buy them. You just sit there and read it and then just walk away.
You heard it here first. Anthony steals. He's a stealer.
Prove I stole it.
I
read the last time I did that was I read The Kitchen, the graphic novel The Kitchen.
I've never read that.
The one that movie was based on with Melissa McCarthy.
You mean Gilmore Girls?
No.
She's in The Kitchen and that.
It was with Melissa McCarthy and Tiffany Haddish, and it was like the female, the wives of the mobsters.
Oh, God. I forgot that was a thing.
I heard it was a horrible movie, and it's nothing like the graphic novel, but I did read, that was the last time I did that. It was like right before the pandemic.
I forgot about that.
But I sat there and read the whole goddamn thing and then didn't pay for it and left.
Good for you. So as we're kind of going to wrap up our hour, I want to talk about...
Have we been talking about this for an hour?
We're talking about 45 minutes.
Okay.
I want to talk about BookCon.
You say that. You hit that explosive K.
Why?
BookCon.
How do you say? What do you say? BookCon?
I feel like I say BookCon.
BookCon.
No, you're saying it differently than I do. You say BookCon.
Yeah.
I say BookCon.
Well, I don't. They're the same thing. I don't see a difference.
I say book.
Yeah.
No, I have to say fast. I say BookCon.
BookCon.
But I feel like you say BookCon. BookCon, like you say, like
WNBC.
You really hit. I mean, you're saying it more properly, I guess, than I am.
I've just never been more confused in my life.
I feel like I say BookCon, and you say BookCon.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But anyway,
BookCon,
which is now dead.
I know.
And people were celebrating it on Twitter.
I don't understand the hate of it.
I don't get it either.
I have to admit, I've never...
I don't even know what their problem was with it.
I think... See, I've never been to other conventions. I've never been to Comic-Con. I know that sounds crazy if you know anything about me. So I think maybe... I think it was con people who didn't like BookCon. They felt like... I think maybe... Or maybe they thought it was too much money. I don't know. It seemed like when... You know, BookCon, I think it started in Chicago, and then it came to New York, and then we went 3 years in a row. I don't know if you went the first
3 years.
Year.
Yeah, I didn't go two. The first year.
Yeah, the first year I went alone, and I think I met a friend, and then the second year...
We met Jen there, didn't we?
Right. And she was cosplaying as a Hufflepuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then the third year, Jen was dressed as Doctor Who. Not a lot of people would cosplay, but some people would. I just loved it because it felt like a big grown-up Scholastic book fair.
It did.
And there was also a Scholastic...
And there was... Yeah, and it was fun because there were events and panels and free stuff. That was the best part, was getting free stuff.
Right.
And getting, like, galleys of stuff that weren't... like, Hey Kiddo,
which is
now, like, pretty well-known.
Yeah.
We got that early from BookCon. I think I got that for free.
Yeah, and you'd come home with a bunch of totes.
Yeah.
And a huge stack of books.
Super fun. I don't know why people hated it so much. I also think there was just some anti-corporation sentiment against it.
I guess.
But everybody's trying to make a buck. I mean, it was these publishers coming together to push their books.
Right. And it was in the Jacob Javits Center.
I almost lost you to Scientology there.
Well, I was just going to say the one thing that was always at BookCon that I didn't appreciate was that they sold it as
Are you into science fiction? I remember her saying that.
Right. They were selling it as, let's rediscover the science fiction work of L. Ron Hubbard.
And then she'd be like, how about we check out your body thetans real quick? Yes.
They did the test where you hold the cans.
Stop being such an SP.
I know. Like, at first I was like, okay, I'm not going to buy it, but it's kind of cool, I guess, that they're reclaiming this. Because if it weren't for the Scientology, people would probably think of him like the way they think of Philip K. Dick. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it very quickly was Scientology. Like, they were selling Dianetics. No, diegetic is the film term.
Yeah.
Dianetics. They were doing the thetan test.
Yeah.
Other than that, that was the only distasteful thing. Everything else about what kind I liked.
I liked the... I loved it the first... Well, we also
Got repetitive.
It got really repetitive because we also went the Saturday and the Sunday. And then I remember for the next year around, I was like, I don't think I need to go 2 days in a row because there's not much that I haven't seen.
Right.
And it felt like one of those things like the Renaissance Fair where like you go the first time and it's super fun. Then you go back the next year and it's like, oh, this is still the same thing as last year. Like the fair. It's just always the same thing every year.
Yeah, yeah.
So whatever. But
yeah.
I liked it a lot. I also liked there was an aspect to it where like it was cool because they would also sell like literary products.
Yes.
Like I remember there was this product that I thought was so cool do I have it or is it in my classroom? I got a set of cards that you use for creative writing. It's in my classroom that I actually use a lot. Where like you pull random cards and it gives you like a scenario.
Oh, cool.
So that was cool. But there was one product that they were selling there was like an experimental type thing where it was like a digital typewriter. And it was like so that you wouldn't be distracted because it couldn't connect to the internet.
Right.
I remember being like, oh, this is cool. I'm interested in this. And they were like, well, this is the prototype. So it's like $5 million. And I was like, yeah I'm not going to buy that.
I also remember the $50 pencil.
Yeah, the $50 pencil.
And they marketed it as such.
Yeah, there was a little too much woo-woo, new age stuff.
There was a lot of that, and there was a lot of children's books, which is a big, huge... Children and YA and middle reader is a huge part of the publishing industry. But if you're not into buying those things, like, I could see... if you're just an adult who reads adult contemporary novels or adult nonfiction... I could see you not getting a lot out of BookCon.
Right.
The floor got repetitive. Even from year to year, it was repetitive. If you want the 2 days, you had to go to the panels. And the panels were good. I saw Rainbow Rao speak.
Yeah.
I saw some cool roundtable discussions. I got an autograph from one of my favorite sci-fi writers.
Didn't you see Kristen Ritter there,
Charlie Jane Anders. Yeah, I saw Kristen Ritter. I didn't even read her book, but I just wanted to. With those things, you always knew you were getting a free copy of the book if it was a new book.
Well, that's like a thing.
And it was like she was a celebrity. She plays. Yeah.
Well, that's like I have this Housewives book that I just met her and I got the book, right. But I never read it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just wanted to see Jessica Jones. Yeah.
It's like person. When I went to see Hillary Clinton speak and I got a copy of What Happened. It's like, who's reading that frivolous thing, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, so you would get free books. You would get ARCs. I always want to say ARC copy, but that's what the C stands for. It's like saying ATM machine. And sometimes I know I have an ARC of Mark Maron's book and it has a misprint in it. And then I've looked it up recently and they fixed it. Yeah. So like
you'll things find like that. Yeah. First editions of books
will have misprints.
You'll find misprints.
There's a misprint in almost every book, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except for ones that are like, you know, like they've been reprinted so many times. Right. Exactly. That's been caught.
I'm trying to think of cool. Well, that's where I really fell in love with Quirk Books, which is one of my favorite small publishing houses. They publish Grady Hendrix's work. Grady Hendrix did My Best Friend's Exorcism and Horror Store. And they also did that funny Obama series where Obama was like a detective.
The Obama-Biden adventures.
Yeah. They also, as part of their aesthetic, they also had a very cool, like, they would have a very cool table. Like, they'd have fun games and they'd give away fun shit. I remember, like, if you ever read Best Friend's Exorcism, in the beginning, the kids meet because it's like a birthday party and one girl's really into E.T. So I remember one year they like were giving out E.T. stickers and mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where I kind of fell in love with Quirk and their stuff. So you would get turned on to new things. That was the fun. Like you would, you know, like it's a con. So you're like, okay, I'm going to spend money. But
right.
You tell yourself how much you're going to spend. And then you'd come home with a bunch of books you bought and a bunch of books that you got for free. And, you know, you'd make your
way
through
them. Some
of the
free stuff was nonsense, but
right,
a lot of coloring books and stuff.
But you would still find things. Like you were just saying about Hey Kiddo. Like,
yeah.
You would find certain things that you wouldn't have bought. You'd be like, wow, this is cool.
Yeah.
And also there'd be like small people, like small publishers and like, you know, where like
the
writer is right there.
Yeah.
And they're like, here's my book. And thank you so much for reading it.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, okay, cool. And, you know, they'd be like, can I tell you about it? Like, yeah, fucking tell me about you. Sell your book to me right now. And that'd be fun.
Yeah, I had an awkward interaction with this poet named Ian S. Thomas, who was there. And I bought his book at like a Barnes & Noble. It was like a book of poet. It's like he's like a prose poet. And I was saying to you, like, oh, I know this book. And I was like, you know, I've used this in class. And he was like, I'm him. That's me.
He popped out from behind a shrub.
And then I was like, oh, cool. You know, I really love your book. And he was like, this is a new. And then like his agent or whoever was there was like, this is a new edition with, you know, like whatever. And I was like, cool. I already have it. So I'm not going to buy it again. And it was just very awkward. And then I was like, but anyway, but I
maybe
like it.
Maybe when they see teachers, they see dollar signs. They're like, yeah.
Well, for sure. Yeah.
I remember when I used to teach college courses, almost like pharmaceutical reps that give you free medicine. I remember
desk
like,
copies, baby.
I remember, but not just like ordering. I remember like very attractive men and women, very smartly dressed, coming up to me and being like, do you teach college courses? Can I give you this free book? And it'd be like,
I love ordering desk copies of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The free books was a fun part about teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got Born a Crime for free for being a teacher.
Oh, really?
A copy of that, yeah.
That's cool.
When it first came out.
Free books are fun, right? I mean, free everything's good. Free food tastes better.
Yeah,
free
for
books,
sure.
Free books are great because you don't, you know, if you buy a book for like $15, you better earn that $15, right?
Right.
But if it's a free book, you kind of go into it like, I don't know, this could be fun. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And you know, if it's good, you're like, yeah, that was good. I would have not have read that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Scholastic always had a thing. One year, this was only one year. I wish I brought it back. They had like, I guess it was, it might have been for their, no, last year was their anniversary. Yes, it was 2020. So it must have been before their anniversary. But they had like a Scholastic like bus. It was inside the Javis Center. But like you would walk through the bus.
I remember that, yeah.
And like it would have cool things in it and stuff.
Have you ever been to the Scholastic, the flagship Scholastic store in the city?
I haven't.
It's cool. It's like it's just like a big Scholastic book fair, and there's a huge Clifford when you walk in.
I love
like the biggest Clifford.
Of course, I love, you know, I love any bookstore. I love libraries. I mean, if I can just be corny here at the end and just open my heart up, you like when you're around books, it's just exciting. You feel the energy coming off them. They're just all of human everything is kept in these repositories. And you just feel it. You feel the vibrations. Like, you know, as a little nerdy kid, when Beast gave Belle the library, you were like, why won't a big, strong man come and give me a library?
That's the dream.
You know, it's...
I love Books of Wonder in the city.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're
the city still has a lot of fun little...
Yeah.
Bookstores. I recently went to a bookstore that I maybe I shouldn't mention it because I didn't like it, but it was it was called like Books and Pickles, and like they sold
sounds very niche.
It all felt gross. It felt like I don't want to eat these pickles.
We pickle the books and we shelve the cucumbers.
Like, it was all together, and it was like, I don't know, this isn't good for me. Where's the place I just recently went? I always say it wrong. I recently went. There's a couple of them. And there's one big one in New Jersey, Kinokuniya. It's a Japanese bookstore. I went to the one in Jersey, and it's all Japanese books and Japanese manga and Japanese art books. And they do have a little bit of toys and you know, just... And a lot of it is... The signs are in Japanese, too. So
that's cool.
So, like, a lot of it is, like, I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at. but it's very... It is very cool. And, yeah, you get your hands on, like... I bought a cool book on, like, illustrative art and stuff. Which is really cool because it had all of this work and then would give you, like, their Instagram so you could follow the artists.
That's cool.
But yeah, I love a fucking bookstore.
And that's it.
I mean, if I had money, I would. Wouldn't that be a great dream
to run a bookstore?
Yeah. If it were know. Something, don't that you think you it would make money doing?
Yeah, I was gonna say, don't you think it would like kill it for you?
No, I mean, if it wasn't a money pit that was sucking my soul out, if it were the dream where like I could just read all day,
yeah,
like the book owner in Neverending Story,
right? Or like Ellen. Didn't Ellen have a bookstore on the Ellen Show?
I don't remember anything about the Ellen Show. Well, no, that's not true. I remember one thing.
Well,
that's America too. I remember one thing about the Ellen Show.
Do you ever? You got to go to the Library of Congress in D.C.
I've never been. When I was in England, I went to some cool old ass libraries, and I think I went to the Library of the University of Manchester.
You know, what's really, really a great bookstore is the Harvard bookstore in. It's like not actually associated with Harvard, but it's like by Harvard.
Oh, okay.
So that's a fun little trip.
Yeah, I like any bookstore that's like the bookstore for our school. Yeah. Well, Anthony, we did it. I want to go home and read some books.
What have you been reading?
I just read. I know this is we're gonna end this ugly because this is a point of contention between us. But I just read Jenny Lawson's new book.
It's not a point of contention. I just don't like her. I don't like her as much as you do.
I find her absolutely delightful.
Well,
and hilarious. Broken in the best way.
I think she's good. I just think she's too much animal stuff.
Maybe, she loves animals.
I'm lost.
Sedaris is the same way, though.
Kind of.
Loves the stuffed animals.
I'm not crazy about her. I like her.
She has this one. Speaking of animal stuff, she has an essay about a snake that tried to sneak into her house, and she named the snake Christopher Columbus because he tried to discover her house. That was great.
That's the kind of humor that
it's delightful.
You can expect.
What else have I been reading? I also I've been reading. Oh, I forget the name of the collection, but it's like the collected best poetry of 2020.
Okay.
I just finished a lot this year.
I just finished the latest Stephen King, which is pretty good.
What's it called?
Later by Stephen King.
He's not even trying. What does later mean?
It's the word is a motif throughout the whole book.
I see.
And I'm reading Casey Wilson's book, which is really, really, oh, really, I really good.
Started Ugh, to read
I love is it her. Really good? Yeah, I just love her. Yes. And I'm also reading Shit Actually by Lindy West. But that's one that I'm just reading. You don't need to read it. It's just her like basically like reviewing movies in her voice.
Yeah.
And so I just started by like reading the movies I've seen.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back to it later.
I recently read a really good book called How a Poem Moves, a field guide for readers afraid of poetry. And it's these contemporary poems and then like these short little like essays about what makes them interesting. It's really interesting. I'm interested in John Green's new book because it's a book of essays, but I think it also has a narrative that holds it together.
I haven't heard anything about it. I didn't read Turtles All the Way Down, did you?
I tried to.
It wasn't good.
It would have been good if it were his first book. It felt like, he write this book four times already?
Fault in Our Stars is his magnum opus.
Right. It felt like the not Fault in Our Stars books. Actually, I think Looking for Alaska is really good, too.
Do you know that's the only one I've never read, Looking for Alaska?
I think it's really good.
The first one I ever read was Paper Towns. I think my favorite one, the one that's most fun to me, is Will Grayson, which he co-wrote.
Right. And then there's An Abundance of Catherines.
Mm-hmm.
Turtles All the Way Down remind me of Abundance of Catherines. Not that it was bad, but I was just like, I feel like I've read this book.
It was, somebody said that it was derivative of The Fault in Our Stars, but it was just replacing cancer with OCD.
Yeah, I wasn't into it. But his new book is interesting. His brother writes books too, which I have not read, but I've heard his brother's books are also good. So I'll probably check out his new book.
I feel like The Fault in Our Stars would have a lot better street cred if that movie wasn't so bad.
Probably.
And that's another one where when I saw it, I liked it, but in hindsight, we should do an episode about that.
It cuts the rawness and heart out of it.
Yeah.
The balls.
Laura Dern's great as the mom.
Yeah. She's always good.
She's always good.
All right, this has been PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm here again with Anthony Bongiorno. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. And everyone, head out to your local bookshop, buy a book.
And go to the library.
And read it.
Read a book. Hey.
Hey, read a book.
Hey, don't be intimidated. Hey, if you don't read books, that's fine. You read a book right now. It's no big deal. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. All right. We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.